For today's responsive read, we went to Psalm number 1 this morning. Matter of fact, we're beginning our fourth journey through the Psalms for our Sunday school responsive reads. But this time we'll be recording the comments that follow after the responsive public read. Psalm number 1. Well, according to C.H. Spurgeon, Spurgeon has made the quote, or has said in some of his preaching or in his writings, that Psalm 1 is the key to unlocking the remaining 149 Psalms, if memory serves me right. That this is the key. Just like the parable of the sower, according to Mark's account of the sower, is the key that provides understanding and illumination to the rest of the parables of Jesus. Psalm 1 unlocks or provides the grid upon which one interprets the remaining psalm. Now, ironically, we're studying Acts 19, the biblical doctrine of separation, as it's taught and as it's to be applied. And beloved, I see a beautiful Old Testament commentary on this idea of biblical separation. Notice first off, the first three verses describes the one who was called blessed. Verse 1, blessed is the man. And then in verses 4, we have the ungodly are not so. So notice even here there is a sharp distinction, a biblical separation between the man who is termed blessed versus the individual person who is identified as the ungodly. And so here we see biblical separation even illustrated in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Well, why is this man blessed? Verses 1 to 3. What makes such an individual blessed? Well, verse 1, he's blessed in the way he lives and the way he or she conducts him or herself. He doesn't walk. And again, we're not talking literally about walking with your two feet. We're not talking literally of sitting in an actual chair. And we're not talking about literally standing at a particular geographical location. This is symbolic. This is figurative speech denoting one's conduct. Okay? Blessed is the man that he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't find his home in the worldview, if you will, the counsel, the teaching, the philosophy, the thinking, okay, of an ungodly person. Next, this individual who is termed blessed, he doesn't stand in that broad pathway that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. He's not on that broad road. He's not standing on a road that will lead to self-destruction. And then finally, the blessed individual is not one who now finds a home. He's comfortable. He's sitting. He's at rest with the seat. Positions of authority, the ones that we find today who pontificate from Hollywood, from social media, from news outlets, the ones who pontificate what? Scoffing, scorner, the mocker, the one who simply tears to shreds everything that the blessed man holds dear and holds with great value. What else makes him or her blessed? Well, he has a very fond love, a very, very cultivated delight. The word here, delight, means to love, intense love. There's an intense love for the law of the Lord. And in that law, like Joshua 1:8, good cross-reference, he meditates day and night. And then why is this man blessed? Well, he's blessed in his fruitfulness, in the things that he or she will eventually produce. He shall be likened to a tree planted by the rivers of water, that will bring forth his fruit, notice, in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's hold our place and let's look at Joshua 1:8 and notice some of the similar words that are used. So you may want to cross-reference Joshua 1:8, okay, with Psalm 1, verse 3. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means that God here is instructing Joshua to take a delight in God's law. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What do we find in Psalm 1:3? Okay. Well, verses 2, excuse me. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, well, that's saying the same thing. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What does Psalm 1:3 say? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I think Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1 verses 2 and 3 ought to be married together. So that's why this person's blessed. Now, why is the ungodly called ungodly? Well, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Why is the wind able to blow this chaff away? Well, they're not grounded. They're not stable. Okay? Everything that is spoken about negatively in verse 1, okay, the counsel of the ungodly, the way of the sinner, the seed of the scornful, those things, beloved, are not grounded and rooted in anything that is stable. Most of it is conjecture. Most of it is theory. Most of it makes no sense whatsoever. Much of it is either fake science, fake medicine, and a whole lot of fake. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Notice verse 5. They are separated. They are separated from the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So even in verses 6, we see a marked division or a marked separation. The Lord truly knows the way of the righteous because they are His. He has called them. He has chosen them before time. But the way of the ungodly, everything that is spoken of them in that verse 1, everything, their counsel, their way, and their seat shall perish in the end. Well, may the Lord choose to bless His word. Amen.